Blog Talk Radio.
Tuesdays are the time to strengthen your roster depth. It's the Through the Wire podcast with Paul Kelly and Tom Brawley from FantasyGuru.com.
It is Tuesday, October 6th. It's the Week 5 edition of Through the Wire here at FantasyGuru.com. And we've got our Waiver Wire article up on the site now for subscribers. We update it throughout the week, so keep an eye on that article. But we get together on Tuesdays. We do this podcast. We'd like to walk you through some of the players we know that you're wondering about. By the way, up on the site right now as well, our Stock Watch report is there. It's a great recap to the weekend. Let you know who did what. Also, our Players to Trade and Players to Trade For article, very popular article up on the site. That'll be up there later on today. And of course, John Hansen's projections for Week 5 will be on the way late tonight, early tomorrow morning. So let's go ahead and get started here. We'll go through position by position, Tom. We start at quarterback, as we always do. And, you know, look, if you're in a smaller league and guys like Marcus Mariota or Andy Dalton or Tyrod Taylor are out there, certainly you're giving a good hard look to those guys. Blake Bortles in Jacksonville. Looking at the numbers, he's been a top 15 guy, and he's been doing it completing less than 55% of his passes, and he's been doing it without Julius Thomas, who should be back sooner rather than later. So I think you've got to be happy about what you're seeing out of Bortles so far. Is he a guy that you're picking up in hopes that maybe the second half of the season he might be somebody that you feel good about streaming with?
Yeah, you like what you're getting from him for fantasy, but he hasn't done it in very pretty fashion here. I mean, a lot of it has been garbage time, but this week they were in the game. They kept throwing it, took some overtime action to compile some more stats, but, you know, he's getting fantasy points, and he's got great matchups coming up with Tampa Bay this week and Houston, and, you know, they're going against Buffalo in 3 weeks, but that could be a blowout. He might have to, you know, throw it quite a bit in that one, so he's going to be in that top 15 range, somewhere right around there. So he's a guy that's probably out there on most waiver wires and, you know, someone to consider coming up with some nice matchups.
Yeah, I really like Derek Carr, and, you know, the numbers are skewed a little bit because he got knocked out of that week one game. But if we look at week two, week three, week four, he's been a top 10 fantasy QB the last 3 weeks. He's got 7 TDs over that span. Obviously, we love the mojo he's got working here with Amari Cooper. Michael Crabtree has really been helping him out as well. And, you know, for me, I would be very, very comfortable right now if I could pick up Derek Carr, have him on my bench as my number two QB and as a bye week fill-in.
Yeah, he's a good prospect to have right now. He kind of disappointed a little bit. We were expecting a little bit more against the Chicago Bears. I mean, maybe we inflated him a little too much. Maybe we got the hopes up a little too much. But he's got a bad matchup this week against Denver. You're obviously not going to stream him this week, and he has a bye next week. So if you're looking at him this week, it's more as a prospect for down the road. You know, we love what we've seen from Crabtree and Cooper working these intermediate and underneath areas. So he's a prospect pickup at this point.
Josh McCown, Cleveland Browns. Nobody saw this coming the last couple of weeks, but he's putting up digits, so we need to talk about him, Tom. 90 pass attempts for McCown the last two games. We know that's not how Cleveland wants to play offense, but that's how they've kind of had to play offense the last couple of weeks. They're not running it particularly well. So more than 300 yards in each of his last two games, multiple touchdowns in each of his last two games, and he's doing that without a whole lot of talent at the receiver or tight end positions. And again, I don't think he maintains this, but anytime we've got a quarterback putting up those kinds of numbers, we at least have to talk about him.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm right there with you. I don't expect this to continue this trend. He's going to have some ugly games coming up too. His stretch is brutal. I mean, they're going to play Baltimore this week. Those are always 13-10 games. And then he's got Denver, St. Louis, and Arizona. So Josh McCown, he's put up numbers here the last, you know, week or two, but expect those numbers to start plummeting coming up.
Anybody else here at QB of note that you want to get to? Last one for me, I guess, would be Jameis Winston, who, you know, you look at the box score, and at the end of the day, more often than not, the numbers have been there, especially if you don't get taxed for the INTs. And he's probably only going to improve as we progress through the season here. He's somebody who I think is at the very least rosterable right now. But any other names you think that are out there at quarterback that we should be taking a look at here?
I mean, I take a look at Sam Bradford this week. I mean, he's a guy that may have been dropped after those first 3 weeks. And, you know, it wasn't a great – you know, didn't have a great completion percentage of, you know, throwing 15 for 28. But what we did like was he started to stretch the ball downfield. And that's, you know, that's one issue with this offense right now. They're not getting the ball downfield on top of their O-line problems for, you know, run blocking. But Sam Bradford has been let go. He's a guy I might consider to look at here. Maybe things are starting to turn in the right direction for him. So, and we loved him coming into the season as a, you know, high end QB too. So maybe he can get back into that range with a couple good games here.
Move on. We go running backs and Duke Johnson, Cleveland Browns. If you're playing in a smaller league and he's available, take a look at him. If he's been cut because he didn't do a whole lot the first couple of weeks of the season, take a look at him here. He's been very involved the last couple of weeks as a pass receiver. Still not a whole lot going on there on the ground, but he is out snapping Isaiah Crowell. We need to mention that. And he has caught 15 passes the last couple of weeks here. So if you pick up Duke Johnson, really, you just hope that Josh McCown can stay in there as the starter. Because if it's Johnny Manziel, he's probably not going to be checking it down a whole lot to Duke Johnson. And that's really been where his value has lied here the last couple of weeks. But we know they like Duke Johnson. We know ideally they'd like him to be their main running back. We're not quite there yet, but he's certainly a guy who's worth a pickup right now.
Yeah, they have, you know, they have two young running backs here. So they're almost, they're content just to split the touches here. Give Crowell the early down stuff and work Duke in on some early down stuff, but they're using him as a complimentary receiver, almost kind of like how, you know, Danny Woodhead's being used in San Diego. So yeah, he's great for PPR formats, and, you know, as long as keep your fingers crossed if you're a Duke Johnson owner that McCown stays in quarterback and keeps looking pretty good here, because as soon as Johnny gets in, Duke's value will have to plummet a little bit unless Johnny all of a sudden decides that he wants to start checking the ball down. And we haven't seen any evidence that that would be true.
No, I don't think we're going to be calling him Johnny Checkdown anytime soon.
No.
We should talk about the situation, Tom, in Buffalo, because Carlos Williams going through the league's concussion protocol, and we know LeSean McCoy is likely out for at least a couple more weeks. So Buffalo now dangerously thin at running back. I know Booby Dixon is still there. He caught a couple of passes this past week. Where do the Bills go if McCoy is out and Carlos Williams is out, and would that next man up have any value for fantasy, do you think?
I mean, yeah, he's going to get touches if it's Booby Dixon. It probably will be Booby Dixon. They're working out Trent Richardson. We don't want to see that happen. At best, he'd have to be a running back three for them. I can't see him doing too much. He's probably going to be more of insurance. They have Sierra Wood there, too. He's not anything more than a receiver out of the backfield. So, if you're LeSean McCoy owner, maybe you're getting the handcuff to the handcuff here at this point. it's looking like Booby Dixon might be an option here. Well, obviously, we got to watch what, you know, happens with Carlos here the next couple days.
Right.
Hopefully, things go well with the concussion protocol and he can play. But if you're really struggling at running back this week and, you know, you need an option, Booby Dixon might be the guy.
Charles Sims in Tampa Bay has been a guy who really hasn't gotten a whole lot of love here. He's been very consistent, though, between 7 and 11 touches in each of his first four games so far. He has scored receiving touchdowns in each of the last two games. And I know Doug Martin is coming off the big 100-yard game, his best effort of the year in week number 4. But Charles Sims is somebody who's getting consistent snaps, playing more snaps than Doug Martin, in fact, in some games. And he's been fairly consistent here. So I think as kind of a low-end flex guy in PPR, you can take a good look at him.
Yeah, I almost kind of see this situation. Yeah, almost it's pretty similar to the Browns situation. I'd almost rather have Sims at this point. Doug Martin compiled a lot of yardage last week, but that was it was a weird game, a lot of garbage time rushing yardage. I mean, Doug Martin hasn't looked particularly good. So a guy I want is Charles Sims. I'd rather have Charles Sims over Doug Martin probably at this point because he will catch passes. He's going to have some value for PPR. Winston has at least checked the ball down to him a little bit here. So, you know, going forward, I probably would rather have Sims than Doug Martin right now.
Yeah, and speaking of PPR, I think Theo Riddick in Detroit is absolutely rosterable right now. He's been very consistent. In fact, he's been their most consistent back there in Detroit as far as fantasy goes. Through the first month of the season, he's averaging 5 catches per game, which is PPR gold here. We'll see about Joik Bell coming back. But he's seeing the field quite a bit, Tom, and this is not a very good Detroit Lions football team. They're going to be playing from behind quite a bit probably for the rest of the season, and that's good news for Theo Riddick.
And the Detroit coaches have put the leash on Matthew Stafford here the last year or two. He's not throwing it downfield as much. He's not throwing it into coverage. So he's starting to check it down probably more, you know, way too much. I mean, it's almost hindering the off. Well, like you said, it is hindering the offense at this point. But that does give value to, you know, a guy like Theo Riddick, who is an option for those checkdowns. So. Yeah, he's definitely a guy that's out there on most waiver wires. And yeah, Joik Bell, get rid of him. If you have Joik Bell, drop him and go pick up Theo Riddick at this point.
Seems like there's something going on in Carolina with the rookie Cameron Artis Payne. Jonathan Stewart, been a huge disappointment so far. He's really dominated the backfield touches there, but hasn't done a whole lot with them. Artis Payne, not a factor early in the year, really just playing a handful of snaps here or there. Got more work in week number 4, though, and they, you know, Stewart is consistently dealing with injuries. I know right now he's a little bit nicked up as well, and certainly wouldn't be surprising if at some point Cameron Artis Payne was the guy carrying the rock there in Carolina.
Yeah, something's not right with Stewart. He just doesn't look healthy. He doesn't look like the guy he was at the end of last year, and we know that he's had injury issues in the past, so. Cameron Artis Payne is going to probably get worked in here more, and he could be the lead back at some point. Maybe they, you know, decide to give Stewart. Yeah, they have a bye week here, so it will be a pretty big week for you know, Jonathan Stewart out of that bye to see just what he has left. You know, hopefully, if you are a Stewart owner, that bye week lets him get a little healthier. But I might want some insurance at this point if things don't look better in week 5.
Chris Thompson in Washington, last couple of weeks, all of a sudden this guy is on the radar, and people were excited about him after the PPR performance he had against the Giants in week 3, came back in week 4, only caught 2 passes, but got 6 carries and ripped off a long one. So at the end of the day, he had a solid PPR day again in week number 4. We know Alfred Morris is there. We know Matt Jones is still there. But Chris Thompson is their pass catching back. And again, similar to Theo Riddick, Redskins, not a particularly good football team. So I think when the matchup is right, if they're playing from behind, Thompson does have a chance to be relevant, at least in PPR leagues.
Yeah, and at this time of the year with all these buys and you're really stretching to fill, you know, your running back's box spots or a flex, I mean, Thompson is a guy to consider. Yeah, like you said, you go into a week and you see they're, you know, 7-point underdogs, 10-point underdogs like they are this week, you know, maybe Thompson does get those 4 or 5 catches a game, and he's, you know, not going to get you a lot of points, but maybe he'll get you the 8 to 10 that doesn't absolutely kill you in your flex spot with a lot of bye weeks coming up right now.
One more guy from me, and then feel free to mention anybody else here that we haven't gone over yet, but I do want to say Charcandrick West in Kansas City. We should at least make note that he seemingly has passed Nile Davis on the depth chart there, and that's significant because Nile Davis the last couple of years has been widely regarded as the best handcuff in fantasy football. But right now that doesn't appear to be the case. West is getting snaps ahead of Nile Davis. If you've got Davis, you probably can cut him right now. And if Jamal Charles were to go down, I'm not saying it would be all West, but it certainly wouldn't be all Davis. So Davis probably not worth a roster spot right now.
Yeah, that's an interesting development. We've seen that the last couple of weeks. You know, there's a lot of Nile Davis owners out there, and they might not be aware of that he's been passed on the depth chart because, you know, maybe they're not watching the games very closely or checking out the box scores. But Davis has not played. He's clearly in the doghouse there, or, you know, maybe he's just not playing that well, and they like this West kid. If something happens in that backfield, I think they'll probably split the touches between West and Davis. So at this point, if you're a Charles owner, it's probably not worth owning either of those guys. So, I mean, dump Davis. You don't need to go out, get West. So just leave that handcuff alone at this point.
Let's move on to wide receiver. And if you're in a smaller league. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think we need to look at the Dallas backfield with Christine Michael. You know, he's a guy that hasn't played much so far, but they suffered another big injury in that offense with Lance Dunbar going down. So we haven't seen, Joseph Randle had a couple big runs, in week three, but other than that, he really hasn't done much. So they brought him in, they traded for him. They've been bringing him along here the last couple weeks. So, he's a guy that he should be, if you have a last roster spot that's not doing anything for you, you pick up Christine Michael this week. Maybe he starts, contributing here in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, and I would think in the short term, this Dunbar injury probably helps Darren McFadden as well. Not that I'm a big fan of his, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a few more touches here over the next few weeks. All right, wide receivers, Leonard Hankerson, we need to talk about in Atlanta because it's really remarkable what he's done here over the first month of the season and how he has really just surpassed Roddy White as the number two option in that Falcons passing game. We look at the targets through the first four games. Leonard Hankerson with 29, Roddy White just 13. And what they're doing with Hankerson is smart. A lot of the time they're lining him up on the same side of the field as Julio. They're playing him off Julio. Obviously the defense has to focus on stopping Julio. Hankerson is seeing some good looks there, and he's been making the most of them. He's scored in two of four games. And this is an Atlanta passing game that's putting up digits right now. So if you can get the number two option in that passing game, it makes sense to pick up Leonard Hankerson.
Yeah, and that role that you were talking about, lining up on the same formation, that was always Roddy's role in the past. And he's lining up on the other side of the formation, not with Julio Jones at this point. So they love Hankerson. He's clearly the number two now, and he's playing well. You can't deny it. And defenses are going to focus in on Julio Jones. So Hankerson, could start putting up the type of numbers that we've seen Roddy White put up in the years past. So, he's a guy that's, been sitting out there on waiver wires and people haven't taken very seriously, but it's time that you start taking them very seriously.
Allen Hurns in Jacksonville had a big game this past week. He's now the number 20 wide receiver in PPR leagues on the season. He's been very consistent. Even before week four, he's got at least 60 receiving yards in all four of their games so far. He has scored in the last two. We'll see with Julius Thomas coming back. Maybe that bumps Hurns down as maybe the third option in this passing game. But so far, he has been very good. And Allen Robinson is the clear number one guy there. He's drawing the tougher matchup every week. So Allen Hurns has been a guy who's been getting open and getting the football.
Yeah, and we really loved him this week because we knew Vontae Davis would be lining up on Allen Robinson quite a bit. And, going forward, if there's, matchups where there's going to be a top quarterback going against Allen Robinson, then Allen Hurns looks like a good option. But we do have to, watch this Julius Thomas situation. Obviously once he gets back, that will knock Hurns down a little bit, but there's no denying the guy is, when he's on the field, he's played well. He's kind of an underrated asset for fantasy at this point, and his owners loved it last week. So, watch whenever they have a tough matchup, whenever Allen Robinson might have a tough matchup, then Allen Hurns might be a guy to consider that week.
Tom, you brought up before and how he was throwing the ball down the field, at least in the second half of that game, a lot more than we're used to seeing him do it. That's a good thing for the Eagles offense. It's a good thing for Nelson Aguilar too, who in some leagues has been cut, and he did catch three balls for 64 yards in week four. Do you look at him as a good buy low candidate right now for an Eagles offense that frankly can't be any worse than it was the first 3 weeks of the season? Maybe they got a little something going here in the second half of week number four that they can build on.
Yeah, he's a guy. He's been cutting a lot of the leagues that I'm in. I've tried to snatch him up. He's going to be, he's bringing up, coming along slowly. He's had some tough matchups, but with Darrell Revis and Trufant in week one, so he's had tough matchups, but he's played a lot, and we finally saw him start to make some contributions last week. I think it's only going to get better. I'm not expecting him to be a fantasy difference maker at this point, but he's a guy that could be your wide receiver three in the second half of the year, and that type of player can be valuable down the stretch. So if he's been dropped, I definitely consider him, because he's at the very least he's playing a lot, and now there's optimism that Bradford can start building off some success in week four.
We'll keep our eye on the Steve Smith injury situation in Baltimore. I mean, they really need him back and healthy, especially with Breshad Perriman seemingly nowhere near returning. But Kamar Aiken is a guy who did score in week four. He's been a little bit up and down here over the first month of the season. But certainly if Steve Smith is out, they need somebody to throw the football to here. And Kamar Aiken would probably be their best option. And even with Steve Smith on the field, Kamar Aiken would probably be the number two target in this passing game. So is he somebody that you're looking at right now?
Yeah, absolutely. And especially if Smith misses. You know, Perriman, it's not looking like he's going to be back anytime soon now. So yeah, Kamar's pretty much locked into that number two role. And the Ravens, they've had a tough time stretching the field. They haven't had a speedster in this offense. And they made an underrated move. Chris Givens, he made a big splash a couple years ago, but he's gone, he's been pretty invisible with St. Louis here recently. He's in that offense. They just traded for him. Maybe he can start to stretch the field to open it up, open up this offense a little bit more for guys like Steve Smith and Kamar Aiken. So, you know, Aiken could have a big role this week if Smith misses. Somebody's got to catch that ball in this offense.
Exactly. I got a couple more guys I'm going to throw out there that I know people are wondering about, and then feel free to add anybody else in there. But Willie Snead, New Orleans, and Ted Ginn, Carolina. And Ted Ginn, kind of along the lines of what you were saying with Aiken, somebody has to catch the ball there in Carolina. They don't have really any reliable options outside of Greg Olsen, and Ted Ginn has really been their best receiver here over the last few weeks. Did have a couple of touchdowns in week four. Willie Snead in New Orleans, I think, is a name that a lot of people, Tom, are not familiar with. We know that Marcus Colston and Brandon Coleman have both underwhelmed so far, and Snead is a guy who's got 15 catches in his last three games. So do we need to stand up and take some notice here on Willie Snead?
Absolutely. He played well in the preseason too. This isn't a fluke. If anybody watched that game on Sunday night, you could tell Drew Brees can't push the ball downfield right now. It's going to really hurt a guy like Brandon Cooks, but it's going to really help a guy like Willie Snead, who can work the underneath and intermediate areas. So, just based on the Brees injury alone, that's enough of a reason to go out and get Willie Snead. Do I think he's going to put up the type of numbers he did last week all the time? Probably not. Colston and Coleman aren't exactly dead. They'll probably, contribute a little bit each week, but it looks like Snead has at least jumped ahead of those two as the top target in those underneath and intermediate areas.
Anybody else here that you're looking at? Tavon Austin, is he for real? Because the body of work of him the last couple of years has not been very good. He did kind of break out this week with a couple of TDs there. But he's been a very, very hard guy to trust in this Rams offense the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I like what they're doing with him. They're trying to get the ball in his hands each week. They've even given him a couple handoffs here and there. And now they tried to get him vertical a couple different times here. So I like what they've been doing with him, but he's still going to produce pretty sporadic. I mean, he's a boomer bust guy, but he might be worth a last roster spot. Maybe he finally is tapping into that potential. And a guy like Todd Gurley, maybe he's going to draw a little bit more attention from opposing defenses. So maybe that starts to open things up for a guy like Tavon Austin. Another guy that caught my eye was the Jamison Crowder in Washington. We were talking about Chris Thompson being a check down artist. Jamison Crowder was also, he got a lot of action from Kirk Cousins in that game as a check down guy. But he's quick. He's slippery out of the slot. He's a little guy. So if you need a little PPR help, in your flex spot, maybe take a look at him. He played a ton. Jake Gruden basically demoted Andre Roberts before the game. He's pretty upset with him. So Jamison Crowder and Ryan Grant have moved up the depth chart. So, that's a guy I'd take a look at if you're really looking deep.
Yep, and I think we also should mention Chris Givens in Baltimore. Again, Ravens with all kinds of injury issues at receiver. They could use a deep threat. They got one here in Chris Givens. So we'll keep an eye on him, see how quickly they work him into the mix there. Let's go tight ends.
Go ahead. Deep shot for you. This is one, if you're watching later in the week, keep an eye on Stevie Johnson and Malcolm Floyd. They might not play on Monday. Maybe you want to take a real deep shot with Dontrell Inman. He played a lot as the number two receiver. He goes against the Steelers secondary on Monday night. The only problem with that one is it is a Monday night game. So if Stevie or Floyd are game time decisions, that could, you know, hurt that. But maybe you own one. Maybe you own Stevie Johnson.
And yeah, I was going to say, you pretty much have to own one of those two guys, would think, to have any interest in Inman this week. But it is worth noting, I mean, last couple of weeks of last season, when he had an opportunity to play in PPR leagues, he actually posted a couple of good games the final 2 weeks of the season.
Absolutely. So, yeah, if you need a little bit of insurance for that Monday night game, if you have Stevie and you don't know if he's going to play, Dontrell Inman would be the guy.
Also for San Diego, though, as we transition to tight ends, Antonio Gates will be back in week number 5. If he's a guy who's been a forgotten man in your league, he's out there on the waiver wire, I think you absolutely go out and pick him up. Julius Thomas, another name, because he hasn't been out there. He's been injured. He's very close to returning. I think if he's available and you have the room, you go ahead and you grab him as well. Kobe Flaner in Indianapolis is an interesting name because he underwhelmed early in the year. Dwayne Allen, for whatever reason, Tom, just can't seem to stay healthy. And whenever Allen is out, Kobe Flaner has an opportunity to, you know, see a whole lot of targets in this offense and had a nice week in week 4 playing with Matt Hasselbeck here. And we'll see about Allen moving forward. But Kobe Fleener's a guy that, you know, as your second tight end, I think is definitely worth a pickup.
Absolutely. And it seems like every time Dwayne Allen is out of the lineup, Kobe Flaener cleans up for fantasy. So we had him ranked in our top 5 this week and he came through. We'll probably have him pretty high again here with Dwayne Allen misses. So, you know, maybe you're looking to stream this week. Maybe you're a Greg Olson owner and he's on bye this week. Kobe Flaener would be a guy to pick up.
A couple other names here at tight end I want to run by you. We kind of laughed off Gary Barnage last week for the Browns. He was up against the Raiders in week 3. Everybody puts up fantasy numbers at tight end against the Raiders. We know that. But he's now gotten it done 2 weeks in a row. He did it this week against San Diego. I know they're throwing it a lot more than they want to there in Cleveland. But Gary Barnage, 2 weeks in a row, we got to at least talk about this guy.
Absolutely. I have a little bit of egg on my face, I guess. I didn't want to believe it. I still don't totally believe it. And like I said earlier with the Josh McCown, they got a lot of tough matchups coming up. He's a guy I'm not totally buying in on, but maybe you're really desperate. And, you know, at the very least, we've seen McCown. He's checking it down. He's getting it to guys like Gary Barnage, Duke Johnson, and Travis Benjamin. So I guess if you're really desperate, maybe you can consider Barnage now.
Richard Rodgers in Green Bay has scored in 2 of their last 3. And look, we love the Green Bay Packers passing game, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers. And if you don't have Randall Cobb, if you don't have James Jones, this may be your only other chance to have a piece of that passing game. And he looks like somebody who's really only getting more and more involved as we progress through the year.
Yeah, this is a guy I'd much rather take a shot at on the waiver wire. You know, Andrew Corliss is now out at least till week 12 now. So he's the only guy tight end. Devontae Adams is hurt. They don't have a third receiver right now. Pick up Richard Rodgers. He's a guy that I don't think he's, you know, he's not to the point where they want him to be in his second year here, but they need somebody. And Aaron Rodgers is going to put up 300 yards no matter what every week. So if you're looking for a cheap piece of the Packer offense, pick up Richard Rodgers.
Anybody else here that you want to mention before we wrap this thing up?
Oh, it's pretty bad at tight end after that. But Richard Rodgers is out there in a lot of licks. So maybe Crockett Gilmore too, if Steve Smith misses this week. But he's a guy that was hurt last week. So he's not totally for sure to play this week. So other than that, tight end's been picked over pretty well.
Yep, absolutely. And keep in mind, you guys, the waiver wire article, the whole thing is up there at fantasyguru.com right now for subscribers. We do update that article throughout the week as we get more and more injury information. So definitely keep checking back for the latest updates. All right, that's it for us. For Tom Brawley, I'm Paul Kelly. We're getting out of here. Good luck in week number 5, and we'll talk to you again soon right here, fantasyguru.com.